Yeah. Go Tigers. All right, y'all, I'm going to stop. But you already know what it is, baby. Welcome to the latest, the greatest episode of the official Dom J Radio Show. I am your host, ODJ, on the mic. How y'all doing out there, man? I'm waking up this morning a national champion again, baby. For the fourth time in history. Them Bayou Bengals, baby. Them LSU Tigers, yeah. Had to go down to the Superdome. Go ahead, win that chip over them fake crack-smoking Clemson Tigers. From that fake Death Valley way out there in South Carolina or wherever they at. Boy, oh boy, what a season. What a game. Joe Burrow has now forever changed the way we will look at transfers in college football. Why Ed Orgeron is now a legendary coach for what he's done in the state of Louisiana. And why we just can't be stopped, baby. It's a championship morning. You know the energy you got to come with. The sort of vibes as an alumni you got to come with the next morning. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, man. That's why I had the fight song going. Y'all lucky I ain't want to play neck, but I figured that might be a little too vulgar for y'all this early in the morning. Anyway, we're going to get into all that. The NFC and AFC playoff game breakdowns and much more after this brief message.
Let a car wreck your day. Call the Singleton Law Firm, 318-631-5200. Ask for Erica.
So unless you lived under a rock and that rock didn't have access to either cable or radio, then you know last night Clemson and LSU battled it out down in the Superdome in New Orleans for the championship trophy. And those LSU Tigers came out on top 42-25, man. Really, Clemson jumped out on us early, was up like 17-7. Trevor Lawrence, a.k.a. the Sunshine Kid, and Dabo Sweeney trying to play that underdog card for the most insane reason, I feel like. You're a school and a program that has won two out of the last three championships, which entailed defeating Alabama on multiple occasions. But you want to say you're an underdog just because the game is centered in New Orleans, as if LSU had anything to do with that. But anyway, Clemson caught that L to the real Tigers, the Bayou Bengals, last night. Joe Burrow, again, with another fantastic game, really making all the throws that needed to be made, scrambling for first downs and picking up yards when they needed to be made, throwing to what I believe are going to be three future NFL receivers with Chase, Jefferson, and Marshall. And then you add in Randy Moss's son at the tight end position. Like, come on, man. Weapons on top of weapons. It was beautiful. Having that historic sort of accomplishment, 60-plus touchdowns, the Heisman Trophy, national championship, all after having to transfer from your original program, it's a beautiful story. The sort of success story that you don't normally hear because you don't expect that sort of escalation as far as accomplishments and skills displayed with a transfer quarterback, but that's exactly what we got with Joe Burrow. Now, last year when he first got here, it was rough. The offense did not look like this, but then you add in somebody like Mr. Brady, who you just, hey, New Orleans Saints, let me go ahead and borrow this man off of your staff real quick to help fix a stagnant offense. We were known for that ground and pound defense in the trenches sort of style. And while we did come with some defense, shout out to Dave Aranda on the defensive side for the staff, clearly this year we took leaps and bounds in differentiating what was known as the LSU Tiger offense. A lot of spread, a lot of empty sets, single back sets. Very, very different from the Les Miles era, which was a whole lot of smash mouth I formation and play action off of I formation with no or little tight end involvement. It's a really proud, proud moment for everybody waking up. It's LSU fans, big Tiger fans, and I think that this sort of legacy that Joe Burrow is leaving behind is one that helps continue pushing the program forward. Imagine what this does for recruiting when Ed Orgeron is sitting down in these young people's homes moving forward, the sort of accomplishments. whether they be transfers or not, so, or students that may have been lesser recruited in some specific instances, as if we weren't already a pipeline for NFL talent, as if we weren't already NFL LSU, this just sort of adds to that for the next generation. And so I have to give props where props are due for that. Now, the NFL, in other sports news, has been pretty interesting from the perspective of if you thought you knew some things, boy, oh boy, might this weekend have shown you different. Now, the wild card weekend was pretty interesting because you had a close game, close thriller, overtime game with the Houston Texans beating the Buffalo Bills. As everybody already know, this is some old news, but my show wasn't out when this shit dropped because I didn't want to just come on for sports, so here I am. But anyway, Houston beat Buffalo in overtime. Deshaun Watson with the theatrics, breaking multiple tackles on the very last play to set up a game-winning score. Yeah, Tennessee stunning New England in Foxborough. Tom Brady and that pathetic offense. 13 points. 13 points is all they could put up at home against Derrick Henry and the Tennessee Titans, who have Ryan Tannehill as a quarterback who has not really been throwing worth a damn. I'm sure it's some eighth graders out there who could throw for more yards than Ryan Tannehill has, but it hasn't mattered when you have Derrick Henry giving you a buck 75 plus in consecutive weeks on the ground. Minnesota went down into New Orleans, into the Superdome that LSU just won in. Minnesota went down there and upset the Saints. Drew Brees did not play his best game, despite having five games off in the middle of the season. Seems when it came time to make the plays that mattered the most in the wild card round, they were not to be made by Drew Brees. Seattle beat Philadelphia, but Philadelphia was a team that was beaten to hell, so I wasn't really surprised or considering that an upset. And Russell Wilson had his Seahawks playing exceptionally well on the road this year with him making clutch throws. Then you followed that up with the divisional round where Minnesota, who went into New Orleans and came out with a dub, turned around and got smacked on their trip out to the West Coast by the San Francisco 49ers. The Tennessee team that I mentioned upset New England, continued their upset streak going into Baltimore this time and stunning the Lamar Jackson Ravens, who have been on rest for about 3 or 4 weeks. And in football, when you're a young quarterback, it's all about his rhythm, keeping him going, keeping those reps, building those experience points. I think they just came out too slow and never got back caught up, because once you let that steamroll engine that is the Tennessee Titans run game get going, you don't even need Ryan Tannehill throwing more than 9 or 10 times and completing 7. Maybe 8 of those passes. Maybe he throw 14 times and only completes 7. Either way, the man has less yards passing in multiple combined games than the running back does in one of these 150-plus yard performances. Pretty wild. The Texans, boy oh boy, did that game go as about as weirdly as you could have thought. They went and took on the Chiefs, jumped out to a 24-0 lead thanks to some snap fumble issues, some muffed punt issues, gave them short fields. Deshaun Watson turned it into quick cash. Cool, cool. And then they proceed to get that work in the second quarter. Put up 24 points unanswered first quarter. But I was sitting there watching the game thinking, it's too much time left. It's entirely too much time left. Kansas City proceeds to do what they can do, and that is score 4 touchdowns in a quarter, because Patrick Mahomes is their quarterback and he has that sort of ability to galvanize his troops. So in a game where you were up 24-0, you go into halftime already down 28-24 and proceed to get that work in the second half, where you only score 7 points and the opponent goes on to score another 20 plus points. Final score there, 51-31. That is rough. Houston, oh man, I hate to think that Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins and Will Fuller, that their talent, the talent those brothers have, is going to be collectively wasted by the ineptitude that is their head coach in Bill O'Brien. Unfortunate. They got a playoff win, so he probably keeps his job, but then you turn around and get slacked like that, seemingly making no positive second half adjustments, going forward on fourth down in your own territory unnecessarily, not even using an offensive player to pick up a fake punt run. It's some very questionable decisions, but that is literally the case that is Bill O'Brien. His legacy will be questionable decisions and potentially wasting DeAndre Hopkins and Deshaun Watson's prime years. Then you had Seattle try and go to Lambeau Field and beat Green Bay. And that did not happen because Aaron Rodgers made just enough throws when Russell Wilson's team could not. They came out on top 28-23. So no Russell, no Deshaun, and no Lamar. So man, what turned out to be potentially the year of the black quarterback being in the Super Bowl is looking pretty slim. A lot of people are giving it to Patty because he is, but I'm like, I can't do anything that involves rooting for the Chiefs in some sort of capacity as a Broncos fan. My fandom, my fanaticism in that capacity will not allow that sort of behavior to exist. So now we're looking at the conference championship round coming up this weekend with Tennessee taking on Kansas City, and I don't expect it to be like it was earlier in the year when Tennessee caught Kansas City slipping due to a number of mishaps and end up winning that game. I don't see that happening. I think they're going to end up being forced to use Ryan Tannehill, and that is going to result in the inevitable L. Even if Derrick Henry does go for a buck 50, unless they eat up 60, 65, 70% of the time of that game as far as possession, time of possession goes, I don't see how Tennessee can even keep this within a two-score game. Then we have Green Bay and San Francisco kicking off later that evening this Sunday. And Green Bay got the brakes beat off of by San Francisco earlier this year in week 12, but that was due to the inability to keep Aaron Rodgers off the ground. That man was hit, hurried, and sacked an awful lot. It completely got shut down as far as their potency offensively. Do I expect a repeat performance? It's quite possible. San Francisco's defense is healthy. They're playing at home. The coach has them with the right mindset. Jimmy G is doing just enough not to throw the game away, even though he definitely has some turnover-worthy throws in that last game. I like San Francisco slightly because of the home field advantage and that defense in that game. As I'm recording this, it was announced no less than 30 minutes ago that Joe Brady, the offensive coordinator for the LSU Tigers during this magical run, is leaving for greener pastures, returning to the NFL and the Carolina Panthers to join their new coach, Matt Rhule. I would imagine that that NFL bag is probably a little better than this college bag that he was getting as a coordinator, so I can't be mad at him for that. And all things considered, seeing as how he turned around the offensive output, the scheme, and the total makeup of how this team attacked people, I definitely don't think it's hard to imagine that not being duplicable to this extent where you have the next quarterback up, Brennan, perhaps throwing for 60 touchdowns, running another 5 for 65 total touchdowns, Heisman, all of that. No. So I don't front Joe Brady for going back to the NFL at all. So where do the Tigers go from here? Obviously, a lot of them will be heading over to the NFL draft, presumably Burrow leading the way as a possible number one overall pick to the Cincinnati Bengals. And NFL LSU is a real deal, so who knows how many other young men will be heading that way also. So good looking out to them in the next phase of their journey. Will the Tigers return with Brennan and go forward, or will they go back to the transfer pipeline and try and find more magic in a bottle? Who knows? I think it should be interesting either way, but I definitely see us staying relevant. The early, way too early, betting odds came out, and we're behind Clemson and Alabama as the top favorites. No real surprise there. I mean, you're not going to catch, like I said in the previous segment, this Joe Burrow magic 2 years in a row where you throw for 65 touchdowns or have a combined 65 touchdowns, 6,000 yards, all these sort of records and everything. No. But having this new formula in place, having clearly utilized the skill players to the best of the position, I expect big things out of the program to continue next year. episode 13.5, that Bayou Bengals season, aka that Burrow Badass mixtape. I think I'm gonna end it right here. Thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. I just wanted to drop something special with a little bit of that seasoning on it from the boot. Showing love to the alma mater, to all the alumni near and wide. It's been a long time, y'all. We were overdue with this. Tigers really hadn't been back on top like this since I graduated. So boy, oh boy, when I tell you, I almost shed a tear last night. I'm sure some people did, and I definitely understand it. But in the meantime, in between time, y'all stay blessed, drink plenty of water, and mind your business until we meet again. Like and share, subscribe to the podcast. If you're new, thank you for tuning in. And I'll see y'all on the next one. Peace.